You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise.
Oh, thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans in the first segment. It's not just us. You saw the title. Total Soccer Show is here.
Hello. Total Soccer Show is in the room with us.
And look, we just ended our tour, but we're going to talk about the tour. The tour was absolutely amazing. Plus, we talk about Barco. Why is he sending pictures of, why is he Alan Gordon-ing himself to people's girlfriends?
And in the second segment, we talk about Major League Soccer with Total Soccer Show. They hated it from beginning to end. We had a great time. Red Bulls in there. Columbus Crew. Sporting Kansas City. Seattle against NYCFC. And we learned a cool new pun from Daryl Grove. We have a great time.
Wait, do people not say that? I thought people said that.
They will now. Because we talk about that and more on this episode of the
Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Where's that energy coming from?
Wow, I saved it up. Just drank a cup of coffee.
I don't drink coffee, so I'm going to pass out during this show.
Well, if you did, you'd cramp twice. You just cramped up. The fans didn't hear that because we just started the show.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Hello. This is exciting. This is,
very exciting.
Last week, we had a host swap. Right, and it was an orgy of podcasting. Yeah, yeah.
I put my hand in that bowl of keys, and I came up with Daryl Grove. And let me tell you something, he was passionate.
Well, you know what? Orgy's not the right word. It was more of a swingers party.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Today we've upped it to an orgy.
Yeah, we knocked the wall down in between the two rooms. We said, "Yeah, everybody get on this one bed."
So we are going to be joined the entire show, and we've never done this before.
We've never
been joined by another couple. the entire show.
We've hit 3 years. It's about time.
Are you guys going to introduce us, or is it going to be like on stage?
let us talk for 30 minutes before we bring you on.
Keep riffing, guys. By all means, keep
riffing. We'll get there. Yeah.
Look at someone trying to get to the action early. Huh?
So welcome to the show, everybody. Let's start at least by introducing
looking out the window.
Introducing our guests, and then we will introduce ourselves because there are some people who do not know what the Cooligans are. But first, we have to just welcome the Total Soccer Show. Two gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Didn't expect that. I'm the only one wearing headphones. It really hurt my ears.
You are welcome.
There's the sound of someone starting an old moped.
Welcome to the show, Taylor Rockwell and Daryl Grove. Hello, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Daryl, I can't believe you just made that much of much noise. You usually don't do that on our show.
So we have been on the World Cup comedy tour with them, which just ended. But we'll get to that in a moment. But
has it ended if we're all still in the room? I don't think it has.
We've extended it.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Cooligans. This is your favorite soccer podcast. Yeah,
what?
I'm saying it with
what?
These guys right in the room.
Oh, absolutely. We're also
see myself out.
We're also the funniest soccer
podcast.
That's
right. We are the funniest soccer podcast. Oh, come on, dude.
You know, he can't get back in here. There he goes. He did come back.
This is not only the funniest soccer podcast. I mean, it is a great podcast, but, you know, there's a lot of competition out there. And I think,
there's no competition out there for funniest.
I've heard some other pretty gully podcasts.
Yeah, this is.
Oh,
where? Point them out.
Yeah. Men in Blazers.
I will break this table in half. Unless you're listening to some Argentinian brava.
I just really like listening to a podcast that has like two really funny comedians on it. And so Men in Blazers just does that for me.
Oh, those guys are hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I want to see if I can make Alexis's head actually explode on this show.
I've turned beet red. Let's start there. We're also the goddamn gulliest podcast.
Right. There's no other gulliest podcast out there. All right?
So you know I got a gun. We strapped up.
All right. Yeah.
We took it to Atlanta. Gunny made it on the plane.
Gunny and Gunny Jr., I believe.
Gunny Jr.
Man, good thing this hotel doesn't have metal detector.
No, Gunny got through just fine. He got the penthouse suite. Click, click, bang, bang.
So, again, welcome everyone to the Cooligans podcast. And this is, like I said before, we have not done this before. This is the first time we're joined in the entire show with other podcasters, with other just soccer knowledgeable people.
But not just that, also friends.
Yeah, friends. Yeah. Very much
these are
so.
Friends.
You guys are certainly acquaintances. Yeah.
One of the two of these men is friends with us.
So the World Cup Comedy Tour is over. We are currently in Atlanta for the MLS All-Star Game. And the World Cup Comedy Tour ended last night at the Punchline Comedy Club.
Yeah.
What an epic ending.
Epic is the correct word to use.
If the tour would have started that way, the rest of the shows would have seemed like garbage.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I feel like you're used to being on our show because you really wanted to say dog shit there and you said garbage.
I will say motherfucking dog shit whenever the fuck I want on this podcast. But honestly, it would have felt like I honestly wanted to say something nice for Chicago because their show was amazing as well.
Yeah.
But there was something about the ending of the show in Atlanta with the superstars that we had on it. I mean, just think of the big names we had, like Alexis Guerreros.
You know what
I mean? I mean, just the kids will be inspired.
Hands up if you saw that joke coming.
Good thing you cannot hear hands up on this podcast. You son of a bitch.
It was 75% hands.
I figured you would think I was going to say Alexi Lalas. Son of a bitch.
So it was a standing ovation. Like that was the first one of those we got.
And we're not just, you know.
Wait, did we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a standing ovation.
Yeah. Wait, you were on the stage.
You know, that's how tall Daryl is. Yeah, everyone looks just tiny. Him.
Look, they're just less short.
No, man, look, and we don't want to just, we're not trying to just brag or stroke our own egos. Atlanta was incredibly.
You know, you're sitting next to me, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, I'll do it myself.
I don't. Yeah. Atlanta, look, we had a great time in every city except.
The shows were great across the board except for Virginia Beach.
Except for Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach could go fuck itself.
All right, well, look, there were some people
except
there.
Except for the TSS fans that were there.
Yes.
Shout out to Shane Carson.
Yes, and there were people who were there for our show. There were some people there that were just there to go to a comedy club and were angry that jokes were being made.
There was a family who was like, well, none of this fits my religious retreat. So I need to leave.
That's fine. But outside of that, every city we went to was just so welcoming and kind. And yes, Atlanta, Chicago, also Columbus, those last four, Cincinnati as well. Those last four shows, I think we found a rhythm.
Yeah.
And then
we climaxed.
Yes, we called
it. Yeah, look at him getting dirty on the Cooligans.
Yeah, it was the rhythm method. That's what we called it.
Oh boy.
We use extended stays. So it took a while, but we finally.
I think you mean extends. What do you mean?
Extended stay is a hotel, isn't it?
It sure is.
Extends is the product.
It's the sexiest business hotel you've ever heard of.
Oh, yeah. There's a mini fridge. Look, you can clearly see I don't need that product.
Why would you make it a mini fridge?
So, look, we had a great time. And look, this experiment, this project of bringing soccer and comedy together that is currently in this room was incredible. I mean, it's easy to. We were concerned. We were worried. We didn't really even know each other at the top of the tour. But I think now we see that there is a model of something that maybe can keep going for the future.
Yeah, I would say that it took a few shows before we would got a format that was we felt as comfortable as we could feel on stage, and. In those last, I would say, three or four shows, I would even say the last two shows, it felt automatic.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like everyone knew exactly what they were going to do. And I want to give props. I never do this on the show. I don't give props to other people because, as you all know, I'm the amazing one. But, you know, these two gentlemen in front of us had no idea what they would possibly do on stage when they got there. You could see this nervousness in their eyes. You could see it. Like, we could feel it. Like, look, we've been comedians. We've been on shows with first-time comics or young comics, like that 17-year-old in Chicago.
Yeah.
A lot of confidence, but you could tell he was still nervous. He was faking it while he made it. I could see in both of your eyes that you had no clue what it was going to be like until you got off stage the first show. And I think you felt comfortable after that. And then you were still second guessing yourselves mostly throughout. I think until the last show where you guys kind of had an idea of what was going to happen anyway, because you've been through enough shows. I will say this. I've said this before to both of you. You probably still don't believe me. You guys crushed. You guys carried yourselves with a level that a lot of comedians take a long time to get. You guys did absolutely wonderful. And there's people out there who wanted to come to the shows just to see comedy. You definitely got that. And if you weren't sure where you were going to see with Total Soccer Show, you left impressed. What you guys did was absolutely incredible, and you deserved to sign your name on that comedy club wall.
Yeah, that was a big moment for us.
Yeah. That was a big moment for us. Yeah, I mean, that's a big moment whenever you're asked.
At the punchline, there's a wall in the green room where comedians, big time, famous comedians, sign the wall just to, you know, memorialize their stay there. And Total Soccer Show, plus the Cooligans, got to be on that wall. What did that feel like? And I know, Taylor, you signed your name right next to Mr. William Burr.
Ballsy of you, bro. You couldn't even go on the wall with the hacks.
Right next to Taylor Rockwell and Billy Burr.
I like that we're saying that as though Alexis didn't do that first. Yeah. Alexis is even closer than I am, I think.
I actually signed just above him, just to be like, remember that time we almost fought?
I actually buffed Bill Burr's signature. I just wrote right over it.
I felt slightly embarrassed doing that because I sort of thought, like, we don't deserve this. Yeah. But I also had that same thing of, but no, there's a chance no one ever asks us again, right? So we should definitely do it.
Strong chance. Yeah. I mean, we could just do it here on the wall if you want. I'm sure our lovely hotel in Atlanta would appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the right instinct, is to feel like you don't deserve it. I don't think Bill Burr feels like he deserves it when he puts it up there. Although I haven't spoken to him probably. But you know what I mean? Like, you, every comedian always feels like there's someone better that's going to show up next week.
And there might be other comedians. Even listening to this, might be like, these soccer guys, they shouldn't be on that wall. But to be honest, that show was one of the greatest comedy shows I've ever been a part of.
It was an event.
The fact that the people who were there, the
let's name them: Alexi Lalas, Max Brados, Tony Miola.
Tony.
Hold on. And Tony opened up.
Tony.
Yeah, he's good, right?
Tony Thick Hands Miola.
Tony, I will break that walnut with my chest, Miola. We had Jason Davis was in the audience.
That was more like a celebrity appearance.
Yeah. Jason Davis. I mean, we had, who else was on?
Yeah, he was kind enough.
George Qureshi.
Paul Tenorio. Mitch Hildebrandt, Atlanta United goalkeeper.
That's right. You know who stopped all those Chicago Fire penalties when he played for FC Cincinnati last year? There was so much happening. Mm-hmm. And every time someone got on stage, it got better and better and better. It was one of those nights where I look back and I'm like, I get to do shows sometimes where no one in the audience knows who I am. And I still maybe sometimes do well, sometimes you don't. That's just part of the game. And you walk off, you feel confident, you feel proud. I've never felt proud walking onto the stage because everyone was there, was excited. And it was like, I'm a part of this amazing event.
Yeah. I know that there was a guy, I always forget his name, but his Twitter handle is Pay No Mind, at Pay No Mind. The guy that was sitting in the front row, he has
big hair. And like the beard with no mustache. Big beard.
But he was, he tweeted about the show and he took a couple photos and he was just like, you know, this felt like hanging out with a bunch of friends telling stories.
Yeah.
And that is, perfect. You know, the controversial thing, Men in Blazers did have their show at the same time that we did, and that was a concern of our. We were,
which,
like,
is a real dick move of them. You know what I mean?
Should have done that. But there were a lot of people who left the Men in Blazers show to come to our show.
I just wanted to insert that it was supposed to be before ours. They chose to show up an hour late for theirs, thus making it the same time as ours
on purpose.
Yeah. Oh, who knows? A lot of speculation. But look,
Waka Flocka Kuwait. I gotta put more sunblock on my head.
The interesting thing about this tour has been the interesting thing is that people have been coming up to us, and it's a little bit of an annoying question of like, that people want to know our opinion on Men in Blazers, and that's sort of been,
I think it's also my fault.
It's totally your fault.
Your opinion's very much on record.
Yeah. And it should be. And the funny thing is, like, people get upset thinking that we hate them.
Yeah,
we did chant fuck Men in Blazers at one point, but and we all did it, so it's not just me. And there's a camera, right? And the crowd did too.
I meant it more in a romantic way.
Yeah. Make love to Men in Blazers. I think it goes without saying. I think how I feel is just that I don't like when people condescend to the sport in America. You know, Daryl, your country has had over 100 years to develop a culture. We're doing this for 20 years and people get mad at us when we do certain things wrong or we say things the way we want to say it. Look what happened to Bob Bradley when he went to Swansea. So I think that night was...
Did you just say that U.S. soccer started in 1998?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, in 1996, obviously, but what I'm saying is, like, the culture we've developed now of rooting for a league that's not going to go away.
Gotcha.
And just being American soccer fans and letting us come up with our own culture. That night, last night, felt like
a moment for the culture. Mm-hmm. And we used to joke around when we started the podcast, like, yo, we're doing it for the culture. That was like our way of saying, like, yo, we ain't getting no money from this. But like, yo, we are. We want to. We want to build American soccer. And you guys are doing an incredible job of that on your podcast by talking tactics and making the average listener a bit more in tune to what's happening on the field that you might not see when you just watch the game from a casual point of view, aka me. But what we're doing is trying to add some levity. And it felt like, yo, why do they get to do this all the time? Why do they get to be the ones that are funny and they can say whatever they want? Whenever we even try to do a joke, it's like, oh, look at these idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. And yeah, I get it. Maybe I'm an idiot, right? But at the end of the day, like, we want to add levity. We want to have fun. That night was we brought legends from 1994. That's, for me, that's when soccer culture started, was in that 1994 World Cup team. I don't care what happened before that. This is my era. That's when it started for me. We had them on stage with us, yeah, and they were laughing at the shit we were saying. They watched us perform comedy. They watched you guys do an amazing interview and awesome trivia stuff and be funny as hell on your own, right? That was wild to me. That really was, not just for my own ego, because I still need more, but that was for the culture. American soccer had a moment. Two British guys who pander to our fans, and a lot of our fans are apparently either just enjoy it, and whatever, if you do, that's okay. I think they're being naive and falling for it. They come here and they make millions of dollars to put on shows, to interview rap stars they've never heard a song from, and to interview players they jokingly call amazing. And we put on a show with legends and superstars, and they thanked us.
And proper journalists.
Yes, and proper journalists, real journalists, yeah, doing the hard work for less money.
Yeah.
That to me, that's amazing. Take off your goddamn jacket and do some dirty work.
Here's how I'd like it to go. I'd like for Men in Blazers to be almost the gateway. You know what I mean? The gateway drug that maybe pulls people in. They listen to a soccer podcast.
That's what happened to me.
Right?
I got into Premier League because of them.
So they do perform a service to American soccer, uh-huh, but then they don't push it forward, right? So maybe if people want to go beyond that, they want to get deeper into MLS with you guys, or, you know, something really funny with you guys, or they want to get deeper into tactics with us. So maybe it could all work out in that way.
You remember when they added Wolves back into the forest and it saved that forest? Do you guys see that video on Facebook?
That's an image of Yellowstone, right?
Those Wolves ain't trying to do that. That's a byproduct of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Them Wolves are there to eat.
Regardless, go for it. I don't want to cut you.
No, I just, like, I have mixed emotions about Men and Blazers. For everything that we've talked about, I agree with pretty much everything. I would say that, like, I think they began the show, I think we heard that they, like, ran on stage with a giant American flag. Ugh. If I did that in our show, it's a very different context, I would say. It comes across in a very different way. But I think because it's two British guys, they're doing it, and it's meant to be like, look how much they love the United States. And to Alexis's point, like, you can say Kyle Beckerman is a very good midfielder. He's a great number six, and he can do this, and he can do that. But when you start saying he's the best midfielder in the world, he's going to score the game, you know that's not going to happen. Yeah. You know he's not the best midfielder in the world. And I get, you guys are hyperbolic. You guys exaggerate at times for comedic emphasis, but it feels they're doing it for a different reason. And that's my frustration, it comes across to me. Sometimes they genuinely care. Sometimes they get genuinely into it. But I feel like other times it's just saying things that they feel like they need to say to get everybody to cheer.
Yeah.
Which is a longer way of saying pandering.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's...
And we definitely do a big... You didn't do a big cheer for Atlanta United.
Not at all.
But even throughout the tour, that was a topic of conversation, obviously, because you were on the show last week and making jokes. And I think it's just something I hope is somewhat settled, because I think we all have our own perspective on them.
Mm-hmm. And everyone should have that.
And they should.
Everyone should have their own
opinion. Who cares? Listen to whatever the hell you want. That's not the issue.
That's the key. Yeah, I agree with that completely. Because that's the thing. We did have a bunch of people say, like, why do you guys not like them? Why do you hate them? First of all, I don't hate anybody.
It's somewhat tongue-in-cheek.
No, I have a list of people I hate, but they're not on it.
Yeah, I was speaking for me there. I was pretty sure you had that list. but I just think, like, if you listen to whatever you want to listen to. Like, I don't know. I hate, like, the term guilty pleasure music, because just listen to music. It's fine. You can like whatever you want. You can like that podcast, but I'm still going to have some issues with stuff. It's the same thing with anything, with criticism. You criticize the media because sometimes you agree, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, but what I am proud of is that we did have a show put up right against them in Atlanta during MLS All-Star Week.
Joke aside, that is ballsy of theirs. We took a chance.
We did.
Yeah. We have the ability to move that show. Yeah, we had the ability to move that show. We all believed in ourselves, maybe, when we decided on that date.
we took a big chance, but I you know what, I'm honestly glad we did it. I'm glad that happened in that way, because the people who were there really wanted to be there, and
some
out.
People did leave that show to come to ours.
Yes, that did happen. And we were here last year when we did our first live show outside of New York, and Atlanta United, these fans are I mean, I was like almost in, I mean, almost in, I was almost in tears, and we did, somebody did shed tears on stage.
Oh no, yeah. Somebody lost almost full hydration. Mike Magid, who's the fifth member of the World Cup Comedy Tour and really the one who put it together.
Yeah.
He went up on stage. We thanked him at the end. And boy, that dude, waterworks, man.
It's a good moment, right?
Very, very sweet moment. And
the crowd chanted Herbalife. That was, that's something he'll never forget. I know I won't.
That was referencing a joke that he does.
It didn't happen in Omaha, I'll tell you that, but it happened in Atlanta.
Before we're done patting ourselves on the back, you guys gave us props. We want to really say thank you on record. Say thank you to you guys.
Couldn't do it on your podcast.
For how you we did say we'd save it for the Cooligans. For how you looked out for us, like literally giving us advice about how to be on stage. Like don't put your hand up to block the light. Don't put your hands in your pockets. I'm now realizing these are all things you said to me and not Taylor. Like move the mic stands out of the way, put them behind you, all that stuff. And you know, you encouraged us and gave us pep talks when we thought things weren't going well. So genuinely want to say thank you to you guys for doing that. Men in Blazers didn't give us any advice.
I know, real jerks those guys.
And I'll just say I just want to thank Christian for being very funny.
Okay. Wait, you want to thank me for being exceptionally funny?
No, I want to thank both of you. And like Alexis, because the way we had it structured is that one of the Cooligans would go, we would do our segment, then another Cooligan would go, then we'd end the show as a group. And so I think there was one show where you had gone first, we had gone, then I think Christian was performing. I was beating myself up a little bit. I didn't feel like it had gone very well. Alexis definitely like gave us the pep talk that we needed. So I think you all have been very good friends and very good supportive podcast lovers.
Here's the weird thing as well. Weird experience for us.
This is a weird podcast.
I forgot.
This is pretty right for us.
I've forgotten if it was 7 or 8 performances that we did.
Eight.
So we watched both your sets, 8 times. I was still laughing last night.
Yep.
That's crazy. I didn't think that would be possible. I was sort of thinking, how am I going to laugh at the same jokes like 8 times in 2 weeks? Turns out it's very easy to do that. So, and I think,
all right, Atlanta, when we come back next year, we're going to do the same ass joke material
for the next 8 years.
No, thank you. That it means a lot, you know.
But you were saying thank you to the fans. You know, everyone who came out, some people, one dude was dressed like a reverend, the Atlanta reverend, the United reverend.
Rev United, I think.
Rev United.
Yeah.
A lot of our fans were there. I know some of them had to miss it. Footy Mob, I hope you enjoyed the stage at the Men and Blazers show. Never forget. That's pretty gully, though. But honestly, the fans who did come out, fans that couldn't make it, that were like, hey, man, I bought these tickets beforehand. Yo, we got no problem with that. Go. I hope you guys enjoy the show. I hope you enjoy any show you went. We're really, really honored that those fans chose to spend that night with us, though. That was, and I'm telling you, I say this a lot, but this is serious this time. They got a night they'll never forget. I know I never will.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible. Atlanta was so fun. All the shows are so fun. It's made me more optimistic about the Cooligans, maybe more optimistic about just comedy in general. And I hope both of you feel the same way.
Well, absolutely.
This was a big part of our mission statement, was to say we're going to combine soccer and comedy, and then we're going to take it on the road. What if that didn't work? You know? Like, oh no.
But to hear like...
Who knew there were tumbleweeds in Atlanta? Yeah.
You know, to hear Alexi Lalas, Max Bredos just laughing in the back and just wild. You know, we usually hear...
I'm talking.
You know, Chicago Red Stars, we got a little word to say. Yeah.
Also Alexi Lalas, you know, he can't not hear himself talk for a few minutes.
But you know, a lot of times in comedy clubs, you know, I'm pretty sure Tony Miola, Alexi Lalas, Max Bredos, you know, these guys are not going to hanging out doing shows at comedy clubs. Like, and they're not in the back of the room. Usually the back of the room is a bunch of stand-up comics that are jaded and have no interest in laughing at what you're saying because they're not up there.
Right.
So it was a weird combination of both of our lives for Alexis and I to have these two passions of ours so directly connected to each other.
Well, we bring comedy to soccer. Very rarely do people bring soccer to comedy, and that's what we did last night.
Yeah,
soccer people were at a comedy club.
It was insane. Yeah. So it was incredible. So any particular favorite moments that you guys had from the tour?
Oh, I genuinely enjoyed Mike Magid's Matas Yahoo performance.
Okay,
that was very good.
So Mike, that wasn't on stage, but I wish it had been.
So some people,
it should have been on the stage of all stages.
Some people may have followed our Instagram stories and seen that we learned throughout the tour that Mike Magid loves Matas Yahoo. He loves reggae.
It's reggae rap, because I called it rap reggae, and I was immediately corrected.
Yeah,
it's reggae rap.
And yes, it's hard to explain how much he loves this and how energetic he is when he is performing this. We saw him do karaoke.
Yeah.
Pick Mattis Yahoo. I don't think anybody ever has picked Mattis Yahoo at a karaoke bar.
Mattis Yahoo doesn't pick Mattis Yahoo at a karaoke.
He's not his live concert. He's like, I'm going to do other songs. Yeah, yeah. I don't even like my own.
Y'all want to hear Snow.
Yeah, exactly. He also loves Snow. Informer. He knows the lyrics to Informer.
No one.
Snow doesn't know the lyrics to Informer.
He knows the sequence of syllables.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
I want to remind everyone that he informed us that he has a list of 30 songs that he does for karaoke.
Yeah.
We've only scratched the surface.
Well,
we've got two songs.
So we
got
to keep doing tours. Well,
Polanco fell asleep. It was what, 3 in the morning? I knocked on your door, yeah, your room, and I was like, let's figure these songs out. And what did we get? Like 26?
Yeah. Oh, we got to 28 because we already established two.
Yeah, that's right.
That list exists.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, he's the host of Inside the 18. Go listen to that if you love goalkeeping.
And
yeah.
Thank you again to Mike.
Mike did a lot of work preparing all of this.
Taylor, what's your favorite moment?
The moment after the Cincinnati show, strangely enough, because that was the one, so what y'all were talking about earlier, that was the one where we first kind of figured out the format of how we wanted to do it with us coming up on stage first. And I feel like that was the one where we came off, and I think all of us were like, yep, that worked. That hit. That's how it should be. And it was also the one where I think everything just felt relaxed from start to finish. That, like, we had Nas from from FC great Cincinnati
guest
on there. Yeah. He's a great guest. But I think it was like, you have to have that flow. Like, if you have the energy dip for whatever reason, then it's really hard to pick it back up. And it felt like that was one that just kind of built the whole show and ended with all four of us on stage answering questions, which I think was the first time we did that as like a planned segment.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that was when we really kind of figured things out.
Yeah. That's a pleasure for me as well. Like tinkering with how it goes.
Apologies to Omaha, Kansas City, Richmond, and Virginia Beach for not quite figuring it out before then.
Thanks for letting us practice on you. I would say, I think Kansas City was a cool moment hanging out with the players and stuff. And it was sort of like, all right, this is part of what we want to do. We want to go to a city.
Park. Yeah.
Yeah, Swope Park. We want to go to a city, but it's not just about doing the comedy shows. What else can we do? Mm-hmm. Like, let's talk to your players. Let's hang out. Let's go do stuff. And we got to play footsie with them. That's a video that's going to come out. But I would say probably the biggest moment for me was Chicago. Other than the last show. Last show was great, but Chicago was this moment where I'm like, oh, wait a minute. We're doing something.
Yeah.
Like, Cincinnati was dope, but it like just got dope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chicago was this thing where like everything felt like, you know, when you close a briefcase and you just lock those things in?
Yeah.
That's how it felt. We felt like click, we got the format, everything is exact right. And I felt like we needed to figure it out before Atlanta.
Yeah.
And we brought to Atlanta a finished product.
Yeah.
So Chicago to me was the moment where it was a finished product. And it's also special for me to have NWSL players come up on stage, regardless of how drunk they are.
Compete against them. That's bad.
You know, especially one from Jersey, right? Shouts to Jersey. But, yo, like, to me, it was important to have them there because a seldomly looked at part of American soccer and something we don't talk about enough on our podcast and we certainly don't support enough. But to have them there.
Yeah, do better.
And to have, yeah, no, I should. And we're not going to. But it's better to
speak for yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one of us will. And I will ride the coattails of all of your hard work. But to me, that was that moment where it was like, we know exactly what we're doing. The audience was wild.
Yeah.
The bar next door closed down and gave us a bunch of free alcohol till 4 in the
that
morning.
That was real weird.
That was amazing. Okay, right. So, kismet, by the way.
We can't just say that. So after the show,
that was the first show we had a show following us. So we had to rush out of the room.
Exactly. It was in Chicago at the Laugh Factory. And right after the show, I had texted our friend Will Miles, comedian Will Miles, hilarious dude from Chicago. And he said, I just asked him, hey, is there a bar we can go to after the Laugh Factory show? He's like, yeah, next door. It's a great bar called Brendan's Pub. And then we walk in, and you guys got there before me. I walk in, and there was a guy. His name is Drew. I don't remember his last name, but Drew, who's super kind to us. He said, the first thing he said to me, he's like, hey, did you guys buy out the bar? Like,
yeah, thanks for the open bar. And we're like, I'm like, whose credit card?
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. Madge's credit card. It's going to be destroyed. We're going to be getting Corollas for the rest of the tour.
He says that, and I'm like, nah, man, I don't know what that is. So then I go get a drink, and then I'm informed that Brendan's Pub is closing down forever, and they have to get rid of all their alcohol.
This was the last night.
So this
I don't think they had to get rid of all their alcohol.
Of course
they were choosing to get rid of all their alcohol.
The funny thing is they were like, we wanted our regulars to get in here and have all alcohol. And we're like, cool, well, we're here too. And so are our fans.
Yeah. So
thank you to the owner of the Laugh Factory for raising the rent.
Yeah.
That's where the weird conditions and bad circumstances. But what
worked out in our favor.
What an exciting end to an evening. We do a really fun fun and incredible soccer comedy show, and then all of our fans get to get drunk for free. What a deal.
You got to go to a Cooligans and Total Soccer Show.
Doug Chan got drunk twice.
He did.
Yeah, that's true.
He tweeted us today about that. I do want to say, I like it. Will Miles, he said his name was.
Yeah.
I like the idea of you asking him where we should go, him telling you that place, and then he goes there like 2 weeks from now and it's just closed. He's like, what did you do? Yeah.
Damn, Cooligans. Damn, Total Soccer Show.
Should never have told them.
I actually texted him. I was just like, dude, that bar that you suggested, bro, it was just a suggestion for a bar to drink at, and you actually suggested the most legendary evening we've ever had.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
My favorite moment, also in Chicago, and I loved the moment seeing the Chicago Red Sox and Chicago Fire on stage with you guys.
Yeah.
And them just Rosie White burning Drew Connor over and over. They were just roasting each other.
Cook that boy.
Super fun.
Rosie was shocked.
I loved how funny they were with each other. I loved Drew Connor's story at the end of the show, and just kind of he's easy to roast, I'll be honest. He just has that face. He has a roast face.
He got that roast face.
But good dude. And
that could go so many ways.
But he's so supportive and kind to the show. But that Chicago show in particular, there was a couple moments, because there were two couples. I only remember one couple's name. I think it was Ben and Chloe. Who drove from Michigan,
yes,
from Grand Rapids, yeah, Michigan, 3 hours to go see us perform.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like nearly crying. I just couldn't believe that.
The guy comes up and he breaks through other conversations and just say, hey man, I just want to thank you. You guys were great. I drove all the way just to see you guys, but we got to go. And I'm like, oh, is everything right? He's like, oh, we have a 3-hour drive home. I'm like, oh, what, were you in Chicago for the weekend? He's like, no, we drove here just to see you guys. I'm like, that's what you lead with. Yeah, that's the story.
Yeah, that was one of the more amazing moments for me. Like, wait, you did what now? Yeah. And like, we had one last night, right, where a guy was like, yeah, we drove 2 hours to be here from Augusta. Forgive me, sir, I forget your name. But that was kind of an amazing moment to just see people like willing to make that trip just to hear us talk about soccer and make jokes.
That's wild.
Can I have one final favorite moment?
Oh, of course.
Because Mother Show, who was fun, but I wanted to choose an onstage moment. It was doing Richmond, doing our hometown.
That was big for you guys.
Yeah, we were nervous about it because we didn't want to. First of all, we didn't want to have a bad show in our hometown, and we were worried that maybe we didn't get enough people in the room in our hometown. And neither of those things happened. We almost filled the room. My friend Paul got in the back row, which I thought was, yeah, we got someone in the back row, so yeah, all the way to the back. And then the show was really, really good in Richmond as well. Sorry, get choking up a little bit.
No,
you guys were so good on stage, and that was only what, our third show, right?
Yeah.
So you guys were so good on stage that your friends were like, hey, great job. They left. That's how fluid it is from your podcast to you guys on stage, that no one came up and was like, hey, man, you guys did all right. Like, they actually were like, great job once again.
Grab you on
off
the shoulder, like, yeah, hey, you know, this was a good old time.
You win some, you lose some, but we had a good time. No one said that.
You tried your best up there. Yeah. Proud of you.
You know what? Just never do this again. You know?
No, but you know, I think even for us and that show in Richmond, I know your wives were there, mm-hmm, family, friends. There was part of us, I know I felt, I'm like, oh, I want to show up for these guys and really make them proud. Because I know when we do shows in New York, and I know your family doesn't go see you.
Never.
Shows ever.
Yeah, people driving 3 hours to come see me. My mother 5 minutes away. Never seen me perform once. It's true story.
But it is a good feeling, because you do want to impress and make the people in your life not question your decision to do a soccer show as a full-time job, right? So good. I did my best to make you guys look good as well.
Thank you.
That was and every other city, what Christian just said there was that he could have tried harder.
100%.
Without a doubt.
I think that's the one thing we all notice about a set.
Give it about 60% every other show.
Richmond went to 80, not 100, but 80.
I do 60% of the time, 100%, whatever. You know what I was going to say.
So again,
it was going to be hilarious.
So to anyone listening to this, Total Soccer Show fans, Cooligans fans, if we ever do a show in your city, we have it figured out. There are no more practice shows.
No.
Right? We know what we're doing, and they're really, I'm genuinely saying this, and I'm not just trying to sell a ticket. The shows are super, super fun. Even when I was not on stage and I'm watching everyone else perform, I'm like, this is a goddamn entertaining show. And I'm highly confident that the people who came to the Punchline had a much better time than at the Tabernacle last night. So that's, I genuinely feel that way. So, and that's not even throwing any shade or negativity. That is just pride and confidence in what we're doing. So
hold on a second. And if you're in a city that we didn't get to, let us know. Let us know if you want us to come to your city.
Sure, some people have.
There are more than 8 cities in America, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
All right, so let's get into...
Well, there's one city. There's a couple towns.
Let's get into, being that we are in Atlanta, let's talk about, really, it's not even all-star stuff that is sort of making the headlines right now. We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week because it happened right after we recorded, but Ezekiel Barco.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
The God.
This is what MLS has been missing. Right?
Absolutely.
And who knew that it was just sitting there in Argentina for years?
Yo, I knew they had designated players. I don't know if they had designated players.
With two A's.
Wow. So Ezekiel Barco.
I know some people have heard about this, some have not, but Ezekiel Barco got suspended for, I believe, 3 games by Atlanta United for, and this is the headline that is currently on DirtySouthSoccer.com. It says, Ezekiel Barco benched after alleged romantic overtures towards teammate's girlfriend. So the issue with this headline is that the word overtures is in there. I don't know. Who knows what that means? Nobody knows what that
means. Doesn't it sound like he was like singing to the guy's girl as she's on the balcony? What are you talking about? Yo, he sexted.
That's it.
He's sending them dick pics.
We know dick pics. We know, you know, just sexting. We know those things, you know?
It's not in the article.
I just want to make it clear that you two just said that you know dick pics.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure.
I actually know what he sent. It's not in the article, but he sent the article, not the article. What he sent was the picture of Alan Gordon with his junk in his shoe. Yeah. And yo, that's immediately a romantic overture.
Okay, I pass that around to everybody. Yeah, you know, yeah. That's gonna be on my Christmas card.
My mother got it on her phone.
So look, I know for us, for the Cooligans, this is the juicy stuff that we
You're right over there, Daryl.
That'll be fine.
That we love to talk about. Before we get into our takes on this, I know the interesting thing from the soccer community was that this caused a divide amongst Atlanta United fans, right? There were a lot of
Gordon thing.
What'd you say? Yeah.
Alexis texting his mother. Yeah.
The question was, does he have the whole thing in the shoe, or is some of it not in the photo? Did he tuck?
I love the piece on the New York Times.
You could tuck.
All right, enough. This isn't about Alan Gordon. We dedicated a long episode.
Hey! A long, veiny episode.
to Alan Gordon.
Chris, you made it subtle, and you knocked right through that.
He put his whole hand
So we're talking about Ezekiel Barco at the moment. But this caused a divide amongst the fans because some people felt that this is a subject that is quote unquote personal, should not be, you know, shouldn't be reported on, wasn't a sports thing.
What are these people talking about? I get to watch what they eat every day of the week on Instagram.
I believe Christian set this up as before we get to it. Why don't we let them talk?
Exactly.
Alexis is in.
I didn't hear that part. I blacked out during that part.
So real quick, what are your thoughts on that issue,
Alexis,
amongst the fans and having sort of fighting about that, whether it should be reported on?
I'll cede my time to Alexis.
No, go.
Got a better idea. Let's tell you TSS talk.
I think when you say there was like some reaction from the fans about this, I think specifically it was the Atlanta United fans, right?
Yes.
I mean, and that's because they don't want their team disrupted. This is obviously going to like cause friction, cause drama, cause more headlines. People are going to be paying closer attention to what's happening on and off the field with Atlanta United. But I think every other fan in the league is more so like, what did he do? What was the overture? Was it singing from a balcony? Was it a dick pic?
Yeah. I think if you're... Oh, go ahead.
You're saying he like drives interest, drives attention.
Well, it's just more so like I think, look, I get why Atlanta fans wouldn't want it to be in the news, but mm-hmm. I think it is unreasonable to expect people not to report a story like this.
Because here's the thing, it is a sports thing.
Yeah.
Because he was suspended for 3 games by the team, right?
That's what makes it relevant.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it is relevant, and I think it's just good to know why. It's good to know why this happened, right? And the reason it happened is something that Rob Ousry for DirtySouth Soccer seems to have uncovered. He said he had 2 sources, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't name his sources, which I think is just about fine in the British sense, which means it's actually fine. Mm-hmm. So I think it is newsworthy that this happened because it led to Barco being suspended. If it was just gossip and nothing soccer related came of it, then maybe not. But something soccer related did come of it. And one of the things that soccer related that came of it is Andrew Carlton got more minutes.
Ooh, that was fun.
There you go. Yeah. That's how you develop 12 youth players right there.
you sign horny young dudes from other countries, and you get these dedicated young Americans.
Let's take
them
these firm dick Argentinians up here.
That's how the American player grows. Yeah. No pun intended.
When they start to grow, we start to grow.
Remember earlier when I said this podcast was weird? We've reached a new level.
The momentum continues. Here's my point. All right, look, I think this league has an issue with trying to run this stupid idea of a proper soccer league and then looking at how do I break through mainstream America? This is it. This is the moment. You take a player that most Americans have no idea who he is. 99% of Americans don't know who this player is. And they probably don't know which player, you know, that has the slutty girlfriend he was chatting up with, right? No one knows. Here's the way.
I think it was Wayne Bridge.
Hilarious. Here's how you break through. The league needs to start leaking this information to the mainstream news. Let's get on SportsCenter. Let's get on New York Times. Sorry, Barco. But we're about to drive all over your integrity. But this is how you develop interest across the other day. This is something ESPN would love to talk about. This is something WFAN would love to talk about. Everybody, which is a big radio sports channel. Everyone would love to talk about this. This is what we need. Putting this down is stupid. Just like the DWI, the DUI, whatever it was.
Kyle Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Why are we hiding this? Being on TMZ is good for the league. So what? You got to shit on the integrity of one or two of your players. I mean, you're probably not, you know, figuring out when they have a concussion, right? You're letting them play, so this is not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that because it's not as though it's like this player got a divorce and he's emotionally destroyed.
Right.
Like you're not capitalizing upon the pain and suffering of a person that is their personal life. It is in this case a person who has like tried to infringe on other people's personal lives, I would say. And I think like those stories, same with Kyle Larin, like you don't get protected just because you are an athlete that people like. That's not the way it works. And I think then you look at the other leagues that you're talking about, and yeah, you get those stories. They bring headlines. They bring attention. I mean, there's a reason why the Kardashians are famous, and it's not because they make good clothing. Like, people want those stories.
It's good makeup.
Yeah, of course. Obviously.
Also, really fun games.
Apps. They got great apps.
They got good apps.
I will say,
are you guys sponsored by the Kardashians?
We would love it. Are you kidding me? Come here to get your fake asses.
This is what makes it so reportable, and the reason it should be reported. And I agree with Alexis and Taylor in that there is that opportunity to gain some interest in the sport, and it should these stories shouldn't be put down. But a player getting suspended, and Atlanta United is arguably the biggest team in American soccer at the moment.
So it says 72,000 people.
Exactly. So one player getting into this scenario, this situation is... Yeah, you got to talk about it. And if you're in soccer media, if you're ignoring it, you're doing it wrong, right? Because these are the times. I mean, it's not even about clickbait. Like, whatever.
Salacious stories. Yeah. Come on, get in there.
Yeah, because like a sanitized MLS is not an interesting MLS.
I think that was actually the sex that was sent to Ezekiel Barco. Come on, get in there.
I'm sure she said that.
You've been hanging around with these guys too long.
I know.
I'm going to get you back to Richmond and we'll clean it up.
And I know some Atlanta United fans listening to this probably don't agree with us, but there is a it's bigger than you, right? It's very beneficial to the sport to just talk about it. You know, we were talking to Alexi Lalas last night at the show and just asking him, you know, why he sort of portrays himself the way he does and the sort of the persona. But it's hard to say, even the people who do not like Alexi Lalas, they are talking about soccer with Alexi Lalas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is beneficial for the bigger picture.
He literally refer to himself as a performer.
He
right?
said, he admits it everywhere that it's performance art, and mm-hmm. people still get upset.
And Ezekiel Barco loves to perform.
It's like, oh yeah, he wants to perform on everyone, whether they're hitched or not. But it's like
Mr. Steal Your Barco.
Yeah, people getting mad at Alexi Lalas is like someone offering to pay for vocal surgery for a mime. It's a show, dude. And you like be a part of it, right? It's good, right? What I get so upset that stories like this are like pushed down by the league and, oh my God, don't do that. What's the worst that happens? He gets sold back to Argentina. You know what I mean? Or he's not going to go to one team. He'll go to a different team for what? You're going to lose a couple hundred thousand. You're going to gain so much more in getting more fans interested in the sport because they're just going to hear of what's happening. And to some degree, American soccer is like nondescript. No one knows what's happening. It's almost emotionless, right? No one knows what's going on there. Having some of these stories that are like national stories and that connect to things that happen to regular human beings, there's a lot of people out there that have had this happen to them. They'll connect to the sport.
Exactly.
Show those. What do they say to comedians? Show your wounds, right? Show your veins, whatever they call it. This is a term.
Show your scars.
Yeah, show your scars. That's the word right there.
They don't say show your veins.
Show your veins. Come on, no, you're just going to do heroin in the hallway. But show your scars. That's important. You got to show your vulnerability. This is part of being a human being. This happens. Show it. I wish more people knew about Ian Harkes and Eric Winald and all that stuff when it was happening because it would have gotten more.
John Harkes.
John Harkes, my bad.
Ian Harkes would be a more controversial story.
Way more. Well, he went far for that. John Harkes, it's something that you sort of, more people would connect with. And it's stories that people would tell to this day, as opposed to, hey, did you hear what happened 20 years ago? Nah, son. Let's see those dick pics, bro. What did I always say about the Alan Gordon thing? If you want to get out there, you got to show the whole dick if you're going to get on the news. Well,
I have no interest in seeing Ezekiel Barco's dick or anyone else's dick in MLS.
Speak for yourself, buddy.
But yes, to wrap that up, I do.
I hope he did.
I'm using the wrong words in the wrong room right now.
I mean, it's important to remember that we began this by Alexis mentioning Extends, and I'm like, here we are now.
I do, but my main question.
Thank you to Extends for sponsoring today's show.
Whether they like it or not.
My main question is how do you think this affects the locker room? Right? Do the players lose trust for Ezekiel Barco? Is it something that they can look past? We don't know exactly what kind of messages. Who knows if these will be released?
First of all, we're assuming it was sex, right? We're assuming it was text messages. Like, it could have just been he got drunk and hit on somebody at a party. The player took issue. Like, we don't know for sure.
You guys are so digital.
Yeah. We're millennials, bro.
That's true. So it could have been something
in person. But yeah, I think no matter what, it's bad. And I think like reporting aside, I mean, just imagine being on a team where there's one player who you know is going to hit on like your girlfriend or your wife or what have you. You're going to be a little bit suspicious of that player. You're not necessarily going to trust them. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't bleed into on-field performance, but it certainly has an effect on the locker room.
And also, where is Ezekiel Barco getting all this confidence, man? He has braces, dog.
Yo. Also, didn't he get married right before? Before the beginning of the season?
Barco's not married. Is he married?
I think he did. I think he got married like a couple weeks ago.
That is wrong. There's no way he's a child. Why is he getting married?
Then who's the other guy that they signed? Escobar. Maybe he's
Remedy,
the one to go. No, Escobar.
I don't know.
I think Escobar.
Meticulous research.
I don't know why he said that.
Somebody got married.
Ezekiel Barco got married.
Get out of here.
Yo, son. Don't you ever disrespect my knowledge, my guy.
The internet said he has a girlfriend. He did have a girlfriend who's cheerleader. Now they're married. That's what the internet says.
Bang, bang. You know who told me that? Gunny told me that. Gunny never wrong.
Gunny knows all the gossip.
Gunny spilling tea.
Do you like my theory that Gunny is actually English?
Is he? Yeah. Because that's an English nickname.
No, because it's an English nickname, yeah. Because if his name was, say, Gunn, he'd be called Gunny. But also, he doesn't feel welcome in England. So he feels a lot more welcome over here, which is not a good thing.
Right.
I mean,
so
Gunny goes where
And
Gunny
he was
goes.
Used to take over the world? Yeah, it is very English.
Is this a thing that affects the Atlanta United locker room? Do you think it actually
Thank you for bringing us back to the question you asked 10 minutes ago.
Impacts them negatively.
I'll give you a guess is that maybe this stuff happens way, 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 way more than we hear about. Yeah. Okay. So there's a good chance, like, you know, say Rob Ozrie got all that grief for reporting it. There's a good chance this stuff happens more regularly than we know, but doesn't get reported.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that, except that there's a reason why it was reported this time. Mm. And I think I'm going to guess that it's because somebody said, that dude did something that I don't appreciate and I want the world to know about it. Ah. That is my feeling on
so
that
he
one.
He was sort of named and shamed. That's how it was reported.
Yes, yeah. I think so.
Do you think he went to like Atlanta United HR or straight to Tata? How do you handle it?
I think he should stop trying to see Tatas, especially with other players. Thank you for letting me find a way to wedge that joke in here. I've been thinking about that one for a minute.
I think you nearly got it.
And that's the sharpness. That's why he's the sniper up there. I think this is obviously going to split the locker room, but this is one of a thousand things on the list of things that are splitting locker rooms on a day-to-day basis. This is no different than other teams and other players on other soccer, other teams and other sports. This happens all the time.
Okay, so so to wrap that up, let's
remember, kids, wrap it up.
There we go. Before, I have to.
You know what? We'll do this in the next segment because we're going to be talking about Columbus a little bit. So so we'll take a quick
break. There's another segment? How long is the show?
The show is quite long. You guys,
this is one of seven segments, dude.
You guys shouldn't have agreed to do this. So we'll be right back right after this.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to The Cool Kids. We want to break in with a little message from our sponsor, SeatGeek.
They love us, and they're the only podcast they love. No one else.
They've never sponsored another podcast. Thank you for taking a chance on us.
I will say our promo code. I will say our promo code right now.
SeatGeek, they can't leave us alone. They absolutely
they
love
can't.
Us.
And you know, SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of Major League Soccer. And not just soccer. You can go to concerts. You can go to shows. Maybe great comedy shows that maybe feature soccer podcasters.
Yeah, listen, we were listed on SeatGeek if we played soccer, right? And if we were maybe musical concerts. The cool thing about SeatGeek is, look, you get the app on your phone, it knows where you are. Everyone knows where you are. It knows exactly where you are.
You're not selling it. People are going to be terrified now.
It's listening to you right now. No, what it does is it knows where you are. It knows what shows are going on around you. And here's what it does. It's not just selling you tickets. No, no, no. It's finding you the best deal across all the other ticket sales sites. So you're getting the best deal no matter what. And guess what? Because you listen to Cooligans, you're going to write Cooligans, and the first time you use SeatGeek, guess what? Someone's going to show up and they're going to put $20 in your pocket. It's pretty dope.
$20.
They're going to be like, yo, my God.
They do without you looking. They just sneak up and drop it in
right
there.
Right behind you. While you're at the concert, you just run right behind you, right in your breast pocket. It's awesome. Someone's going to be like, yo, my guy, I heard you use Cooligans. Here's $20.
Yeah, definitely. And if you use any other promo code, there's not going to be a guy saying, yo, my guy, I heard you use it. You know, it's going to be that guy, that particular person who goes to every person who uses the promo code.
Like if a guy walks up to you, he's like, hello, I heard you use the wrong code.
That's not our code. You use the wrong code.
Or if a 12-year-old with a massive beard shows up, you use the wrong code. What you got to do is use
Cooligans. I hate this show.
So go to download the SeatGeek app, use the promo code Cooligans, and you will receive $20 off your first order. Do it now.
Download that app right now. Yeah, baby, we're back.
We are. And we're going to do something. We talk MLS. And
yeah, baby. Did I do it?
Yes.
Oh, you landed that plane.
We are, you know, we don't hide the fact that we're very pro-America. I don't know. You know, our two podcasters in front of us can't really say the same.
Well, we're going to do something they've never done. We're going to talk MLS.
Yeah. We need to dance with an American flag for you? Yeah.
Can you guys shave your heads real quick?
You know, because they get a lot of complaints. I know from your listeners, or sometimes your listeners feel like you don't talk about MLS enough.
Oh, really? You've been talking to them?
Look, I'm compiling a list.
Quinnipiac poll says.
I feel like you're coming for us next.
Yeah. I feel like your source on that is Gunny.
Gunny's never wrong.
We should listen to Gunny.
He's
very intimidated.
If any of your listeners make that complaint, you can direct them to this episode.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because you guys are going to be doing talking all Major League Soccer.
See, that's cleverness right there. When people complain about our show, direct them to another show. Nice try.
Yeah.
Nice try. Don't you like about our show? Well, tell TSA.
So let's talk about a couple of the games that stood out this weekend in Major League Soccer. Let's start with in the order that they were played in. So let's start. The New York Red Bulls hosted the Columbus Crew and lost this game 2-3. So a couple things I start before we talk about the game, we should talk about Zach Steffen, because there was news of a potential sale to Bristol City, and that
$3.9 million, if I'm not mistaken.
You know what? You probably are mistaken.
It didn't matter because it didn't go through.
It didn't go through.
Well, it wasn't accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It was rejected, in fact.
How about that?
Which yeah,
that's the opposite of
as
accepted.
Opposed to like failing a physical or something.
Okay.
What the hell is Columbus doing?
So yeah, that is. I'll put that question out for everyone. What is Columbus Crew doing? Could they use that money and made a mistake by not accepting it, or do they think that they can push far into the playoffs and possibly win an MLS Cup? And they need Zach Steffen to do that.
I mean, I think they need Zach Steffen because he makes the team better. That's obvious, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. He's probably the U.S. national team starting keeper, right? So maybe his value is maybe they just think he's worth more than $3.9 million. And maybe I don't know how the MLS money works, but maybe it takes longer to reinvest it in Major League Soccer, right? Because if you're using it as GAM or TAM or whatever, you've got to make a lot of trades happen to move stuff around.
It's also outside the transfer window is closed, or the trade window is closed, right? For MLS, so you can't sign new players at this point.
Nope.
No, no, you can't. Yeah, yeah. Okay. When you say trade window and transfer window, mm-hmm. I don't think there's no difference, right? You can't make trades outside of the transfer window. Am I wrong by saying that?
Well, who knows?
Well, basically, what I'm saying is it's you take that $3.9 million, I think it was dollars. I don't think you get a goalkeeper mm-hmm. as good as Zach Steffen for that, probably because that's a really low bid for Zach Steffen.
I actually think you're wrong because remember, a lot of these deals would be made with TAM and GAM and all that.
Yeah.
So the value is an exact dollar for dollar when it comes to the play money we have here in MLS. You know, the fake bank account that
Monopoly
we're pulling from. Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of goalkeepers that are good enough within
but U.S. not Zach Steffen.
They're not Zach Steffen, but I don't think Columbus needs... It's great to have. I don't think they need Zach Steffen. Zach Steffen, I don't think, makes them an MLS Cup champion.
I mean, he made some saves against the Red Bulls.
Incredible. Look, he's an incredible keeper mm-hmm. and probably the guy that I want to be the number one. I think he's earned it and deserves it, mm-hmm. Or at least a shot at it. I don't think he's necessary to win an MLS Cup. I think worse... Goalkeepers have won MLS Cup with teams not nearly as good as Columbus.
Here's what if you're Columbus Crew, I would rather have Zach Steffen than $3.9 million in real money or MLS money.
I mean, yeah, and I genuinely wonder, like, I know I don't think these directly coincided, but like you look at Alfonso Davies, obviously Zach Steffen, not Alfonso Davies, but I mean that like the amount of money they're getting for him, if you're Columbus Crew,
million, right?
You think, you know, this is probably the U.S. goalkeeper, like going forward. And you know, if you're getting $12 million for Canada's next generation, we'd like a little bit more money. On top of that, Bristol may be a nice enough city, but I have to believe that Zach Steffen thinks if I'm going to move, I would prefer it be a Premier League club or La Liga club. And I think maybe that also factors into why that move didn't happen.
Do we think Bill Hamid was a good goalkeeper when he played in MLS?
Most of the time.
I think, but that
compared
might be...
Compared to Zach Steffen.
I think Steffen's better.
I think Steffen's better.
Yeah. By how much? Like scale of 1 to 10. I'm asking for a reason.
How much better is he on a scale of 1
scale
to 10?
Scale 1 to 10. If Zach Steffen is a, let's say, an 8.
Banana. I don't know what that scale means.
Yeah, come on. You know from scale 1 to 10. One
right, let's say Hamid is a 7 out of 10 keeper and Steffen's an 8 out of 10 keeper. Yeah.
Right. So Bill Hamid went to Michelin and can't even get on the field.
So maybe Hamid's actually a 5 out of 10 keeper.
But what I'm saying is like it's not a guarantee that you're going to get a lot more money. And if you do, it's not a guarantee that
well, but you're setting up a straw man argument here. You're setting up like, well, Bill Hamid didn't succeed in their
show.
I'm just saying, what I've learned from being on tour with Alexis is that he wants to win the argument and he wants to win it like by basically, you know, setting up the argument so that it favors his argument. 100%. In this situation, I don't, well, okay, fine. Then let's talk about any American goalkeeper who's gone and succeeded in the Premier League after playing in Major League Soccer. That could be Zach Steffen. So why can't that be the case? Because, why you got to be Bill Hamid?
Because Bill Hamid, I would say, was a comparable keeper, maybe not as good, maybe not as flexible. And Zach Steffen is younger, but I think Bill Hamid had a bigger longer resume of success within the league, or at least looking good within the league. And he goes to a team like Michelin, which is, I would say, worse than Bristol City. Am I wrong there?
Yeah,
I'm kind of taking that shot. And I would think Zach Steffen probably would not find it as easy to start. I don't know how much money Bristol City has. $3.9 million feels like a lot of money for a keeper.
How about this? Did we know if Zach Steffen wanted to leave? Did anyone hear anything?
This is America. Where they want to go doesn't matter. Right? We send players wherever. Dax McCarty don't want to go to Minnesota.
Was there a story that like Zach Steffen was mad that they rejected his move to
Europe? Have not seen any kind of story like that. And seeing his play, he still, especially the game against the Red Bulls, he still looked very motivated to play for the Columbus Crew.
All right. He didn't go like half stretch on the save. I mean, he went all out still.
I have a sinister theory that I've just realized here.
What's that?
Is there a chance that Anthony Precourt didn't want this move to go through because he wants the team, if maybe they're not in Columbus next season, to be as strong as possible in their first season to justify that move? And it just makes me wonder if maybe if you were like just completely interested in like gutting the team, then he maybe would have entertained that sale and let it go through versus we'll keep him. We'll keep the U.S. national team goalkeeper. And now if we move to Austin, then look, we've got this shiny new goalkeeper that everybody should be excited about.
I mean, I don't think a goalkeeper is of his ilk is as important when you can find comparable, maybe not nearly as good talent. Hold on one second.
What I'm hearing is disrespect for goalkeepers. It's not me telling you like all pizzas are the same.
Oh my God. All right.
I mean, it pretty much is.
Hold on, let me go get Gunny real quick.
It's dough, sauce, and cheese. What more do you need? It's fine.
It worked. It really did work.
And I hear if you bake it on a screen, it's totally delicious.
I'm going to bite a piece of this table off and use it to stab both of you. Here's the truth. They can use that $3.9 million to go get themselves one horny little Argentinian. That's going to be flashier
but they can't,
and better.
They can't. How much was Barco?
15.
I mean, so okay, so you can get a quarter of Barco.
There's other players.
A slightly less horny Argentinian. Fine.
Maybe one who gets the stuff out more during the day and not tries to text out the girlfriends of other players. I think you can find really good talent for 4.3. How much was Kaku?
I do not know.
It was double digits.
Can
right?
we look this up?
Yeah, let me look this up. I don't know. But
Assad, I mean, there's players.
Please sink his argument right here.
I don't know if 3.9 million finds you the greatest DP, young DP.
Is it 3.9? Because you've gone 3.9 to 4.3.
It is 3.9. Okay. I have confirmed that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is 3.9.
Once we do an argument with Alexis, should we talk about the game?
Yeah, we should. So one thing I did
please argue with me.
One thing I did want to sort out with the game was Patrick Mullins. Patrick Mullins, I think this is his second start and first goal for the Columbus Crew, was traded to Columbus from DC United, was not once Wayne Rooney got there. There's no
yeah,
space.
We don't need you, Patrick Mullins.
Patrick Mullins, former NYCFC player, went to DC United. And actually, last season, he did great. I mean, he had one, I think, four-goal game last season.
Yeah.
Speaking of comparable attacker, maybe not a starter on every single team, but looked pretty confident playing for Columbus and playing in, we talk about Greg Berhalter. We were talking about him last week. Possible future U.S. men's national team coach. But it seems like Columbus might be the place for Patrick Mullins. Why are you smiling, Alexis?
$6.25 million.
For Kaku?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Why?
Wasn't double digits. That's all.
I love that you're resting on that one and not the fact that you led with, they could just go out and get Barco. That was your initial argument.
No, a horny Argentina. Okay.
Understood. And I just want to add, while we're on that topic, dough made the same day is just fine for pizza. Anyway.
Tin tomatoes are fine.
But I want to say with Mullins, I think it was really important, in my opinion. Wait, sorry, did I step on what you were saying?
No, okay.
I thought it was really important because we went to DC United's home opener last season, mm-hmm. right? And you remember Marcelo Savas missed the penalty in the first game.
That, yeah.
I think it finished 0-0. Didn't really work out for DC. And there are those moments when a player who's like making their debut or like very close to their debut can miss an opportunity or really mess something up, and that can become like a mental block for them, a mental obstacle. And here, if Mullins missed that, it would have been a problem because Giassi Zardes is wide open.
Wide
and if he
open.
Squared that, yeah. it's an easy goal. But the fact that Mullins finishes it, I feel like that really sets him up to have that much more confidence going forward.
Was this the goal from the Harrison Affle through ball?
Yes.
This was a joy to watch because I love watching the Red Bulls. I do like. I know you guys are NYCFC.
We think they're very exciting to watch.
So I'm not saying this to you. They, like really? The high press, the young players.
The pizza get upset to more.
Oh yeah, you guys are gonna die.
Red Bulls, keep talking about them, please.
Like that stuff is thrilling, right? The high press is thrilling, but it's also a reminder that it just leaves massive, massive, massive holes. And if you have a player like Harrison Affle who's just smart enough to play that just one time pass through the middle of them, it can break the whole thing wide open. So Mullins capitalized on that.
I think what I love about Berhalter's system is that you get someone like Giassi Zardes who has no reason to score. I mean, there's just everything is working against him, including his touch. And he's able to score he's over double digits goals now, playing for someone like Berhalter, and it's all tap-ins. You get someone like Pedro.
Not all tap-ins.
I mean, a lot of tap-ins.
It's hard to get tap-ins in Major League Soccer.
It's not easy. And he's more of a poacher now in the way he's playing the game, or sort of someone who's just in position to receive a perfect cross than anything else. You get someone like Mullins who can also break a player down a little bit, score on his own, find his own scoring opportunities. I think this is a win-win for Columbus.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Mullins has needed a situation like this. He's one of those American players that when he played at NYCFC, I would look at him and go, wow, he's pretty good. I wonder what he would do when given the right opportunity all season, and he's not going to get it here because David Villa is here. And we're seeing that I think he has the opportunity with Columbus to be their starter up front all the time.
And you think Zardes and him can play well together? I don't know how often they play with two strikers. And Mullins is not a guy. He can't sit behind Zardes. He just needs the ball right up front and to get those opportunities.
My one thing about Mullins, I've always liked Mullins as a finisher when I've seen him at DC and at NYCFC before. Anytime I've seen him as part of a press, He looks absolutely lost. He doesn't know how. You know, you just do the thing of like you direct pressure one way or another, right?
Yeah, so
I'll stand to your right to force you to
pass,
force you to go to the left. I've seen Mullins get that wrong so many times. it's embarrassing. So I'm interested in how he manages to do that for Berhalter.
Let us have our own culture, Daryl. Maybe we want to be bad at the press for a little bit.
Look, Columbus they've had a couple rough games. They played at Yankee Stadium a couple weeks ago, and they
were pretty much dominated. They barely touched the ball. Which
lost in nine innings. It was very bad.
which was a surprise. But NYCFC, I remember there was the post-game conference. Domi Tarrant mentioned that he put, when he subbed in Kwame Awa into the game, he said, Mark Higuain, just man-mark him. Don't let him do anything. And after a couple minutes, Berhalter subbed off Higuain because they just couldn't run the ball through the middle anymore. So, and also, surprising because the Red Bulls do not lose at home. It's very rare nowadays. So, the fact that they got this win, and even with all the stuff going on with Zach Steffen, pretty impressive. So
very much so.
Yeah. So,
and for the record, of all the stuff I'm talking about Zach Steffen, he looked incredible in this game.
Yeah, he made a couple of huge saves.
He looked $10 million good.
I would say so.
At least 6.25.
All right, no negotiation. This is not the negotiation table.
I'm still curious, Alexis, with your pizza tours, do you just take people to different Sbarros, or what do you do?
We take them to all the Sbarros, and then we learn how good vomiting can be for us.
From both ends.
Right? All right. Ooh, you vomited out your butt.
So next up, let's talk about Sporting Kansas City against FC Dallas.
Oh, the Michael Barrios game.
The Michael Barrios game has been renamed. Like Rumble in the Jungle, this is the Michael Barrios game. You know?
He took over this game.
Yeah. Michael Barrios scoring all the goals for FC Dallas. They win this game 3-2 at Children's Mercy Park. So it seems like
they showed no mercy.
The city, we
boo.
I was gonna let that go,
but it seems like
it's the first boo of the tour for you, I think.
We visited Kansas City and clearly gave them some bad luck. Uh-huh. They did not win this game, but again. A team, especially last season, such a strong defensive team with a great goalkeeper that's worth $1 billion in Tim Melia.
Is he though?
Goalkeeper of the year.
He was bad in this game. I think
he had he got embarrassed a little bit.
I think he did.
Megged.
He got megged. He did the classic goalkeeper thing of thinking you can get to the ball, like for the second goal, I believe it was the meg. And he like comes running out, and then I think realizes I'm not going to get to that ball, and also I have exhausted the space where I can use my hands.
Yeah.
So then he just kind of stands at the top of the 18, like, here I am. I don't know what I'm doing. And then it goes right through his legs. Oh. It was a series of poor decisions from Tim Melia, who is otherwise a very good goalkeeper.
I was most impressed. I think Barrios megged him with the outside of his foot, right? Oof. He sliced with the outside of his foot and put it through Melia's legs. Go on, Barrios.
My favorite moment is Barrios has had moments throughout the season where he can't do stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So when he megs him, he still looks over Tim Melia to make sure it went in, because he was just like, I know my luck. And that shit's not going in.
But FC Dallas did look good. And I was concerned after Mauro Diaz was sold to what Qatari team or whatever. Dubai
or something like that.
Some Dubai. I mean, good for him, making more money. But he's going to be... He's going to have a great time playing in the Middle East.
A lot of sunblock.
But they still look pretty good. And they're sitting in first place in the Western Conference, very close for a supporter shield position in the first position. But the hat trick was incredible. But Gerson Fernandez, his goal, and we were seeing this from Johnny Russell earlier in the year.
Scottish Maradona.
Scotch Adana.
We're seeing it's rubbing off.
That's just scotch with cocaine. Right?
it's rubbing off on the other players.
By the way, Diego Maradona just woke up. His ear is ringing. He's like, I'll do that.
My nose is tingling.
That's how he senses it.
I gotta go. I'll be right back.
But if you haven't seen this goal in the 50th minute, Gerson Fernandez scores it was Ulloa, and I forgot who the other person was defending him, but just cuts up these two fools, embarrasses them right at home, being like, yo, this is not your house. Cutting across both players, then outside, curving it around the keeper. Just very, very impressive.
So this is one of my pet hates is what Ulloa does for this goal. he comes along. I can't remember who the defender is, but he comes along and it sets up like a two defenders versus Fernandez. But then he only half tackles.
Marquinhos Pedroso.
That's what I was going to say. And because Marquinhos Pedroso is there, Ayoa does like a half tackle. And because Ayoa does the half tackle, Marquinhos Pedroso kind of doesn't step towards Fernandez. And then all of a sudden, neither of them have made a play.
Yes.
So Ayoa's presence, instead of doubling the defense that Fernandez had to face, he really halved it. So he was not helpful.
Yeah. It's one of the, even when like I hate every time I make an example of like when I play soccer, but I'm not good at it to begin with, but I do know that being in that position, you always feel like there's no way he's gonna get there's two of us and one of him, there's no way. So you just presume that one, the player with the ball is not gonna make any move that could possibly get to cut through these two defenders, or you also think the other guy got it. Yep. He's a competent defender as well.
Two is better than one. There's definitely no diminishing returns here. And where did that guy just go? But I want to say, yo, Herso, if we're going to call him by his Latin name, which I like, everyone else saying Gerso. Herso, one thing that I loved about him is when he did cut, we remember this from when Jack Harrison was playing on NYCFC and he did the same exact cut on the Montreal player. I can remember the...
Yes. I forget the name, but it was a good time impact, yeah.
When he cut and he was like, oh, that worked. Like, you felt like there was a hesitation.
Well, he's English, so...
Yeah, he was like, tricks are new. I did something with my foot that didn't involve raking someone's the back of someone's calf. He looks up and he was like, whoa, and I'm open. All right, let me try this curling shot. And when he did, he was excited. Harrison was like, this is exactly what I should be doing at this moment. Here's this dope curler.
Going for this.
Yeah, it was just this. It was great, like this certain angle he had that he curled it around the keeper, but he kept it low as opposed to trying to go, like, as you guys would say, top bins. You know, he kept it nice and low. And I think that was what was so impressive is everything was the highest probability of scoring. Everything he did it from that moment on versus like, oh, let me just send this shot and see what happens. It was really, really beautiful.
It was impressive. So let's move on to the Seattle Sounders. Playing at CenturyLink Field, welcoming New York City Football Club.
I enjoyed watching the extended highlights of this one in your room with Alexis because it was just a series of like scribbling notes, and then every time Seattle would score, just slamming pens. So angry.
Totally
so
unbiased, angry. Everybody.
Impartial opinions about this game.
And the reason I slammed my fingers because I was watching the back line of NYCFC.
Look, Seattle wins this game 3-1. Seattle Sounders having a very rough season, but NYCFC had a Thursday game against Orlando, which they won. And then, what were you going to say, Taylor?
I was just going to say, it was Orlando. You didn't need to say that.
That's probably.
So in other words, they had an easy game.
Anyway, send your emails to, what's your email addresses again?
Yeah, it's totalsuckershow@gmail.com.
I mean, you're the one who put it up, right? Like, what, Orlando, I know we're going to talk about them in a second. What, 1-12-1 in their last 14, something like that?
1-12 in the last 13.
Oh, good, 1-12. Okay, there you go.
Wow. Yeah.
Not a good record.
Matt Doyle was right.
I clicked on the 100%, by the way, and he's retweeted his own tweet like seven times just to piss off the old
Doyle. No,
he's a monster.
I love Matt Doyle. But the if you go to the forum page on MLSsoccer.com, it's just the series of red, yellow, and green. And when you get down to Orlando, you're like, it's all red except for one little green in there. It's shocking to see.
Yeah. So the Seattle Sounders win this game 3-1. NYCFC looked poor.
Lethargic.
They looked lethargic. They were. So this is the only reason I'm mentioning the Thursday game against Orlando is because head coach Domi Torrent did mention that he had a big issue with the schedule. The fact that this game, they had to travel from Orlando to Seattle, and the game only on 3 days rest, and the game was scheduled early in the afternoon. It was at 2 p.m. So there is a bit of a difference because it's incredibly hot at 2 p.m. And if the game was held maybe at 8 p.m., it could have been a little bit they could have been a little bit more competitive and wouldn't have been as fatigued. And I think we saw
We know as well from our pickup game in Chicago.
Yes.
When you play in the heat on artificial turf, you get more heat.
Exactly.
It reflects.
Why am I cramping on this podcast?
Yeah.
Because on your podcast, I did catch a cramp recording TSS.
Yes.
because of, you know, all we've done, all the effort we've given in that heat.
It was time wasting. Let's be real. just trying to conquer calf your way through the podcast.
But from everyone I've ever spoken to who's played on turf, because let's be honest, I'm not an expert on here, right? I'll admit my faults. I don't like to exercise. Everyone I've spoke to who's played on turf says it gets so hot.
Yeah,
playing on turf, something that, you know, grass has moisture in it, turf doesn't. So it just steams up, and you feel so much hotter. And
it's like it reflects the heat up instead of absorbing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And also, this was an issue for a lot of youth players. A lot of youth players were getting dehydrated and heat strokes because they were playing so long on turf.
Some older podcasters as well.
Right. Absolutely. Some people who are pretending like they're in their 20s, running around here acting like you still got a chance at a career. What's wrong with y'all? Get good at FIFA. I think the real issue is why are we still playing on turf? But let's not talk about that. NYCFC had a scheduling issue, but that also doesn't excuse how bad that
is. Is it a scheduling issue?
Yes. Yes, because we don't have a balanced schedule. Why don't we have a balanced schedule?
Well, we know why we don't have a
balanced we don't need to be single table. I'm forever going to be a single entity. I don't need us to be single table. I don't need all these other things. Just get a balanced schedule. Supporter Shield just means you acquired the most points throughout the year. Well, it doesn't mean you played the same schedule as everyone else.
There aren't even a balanced number of teams in each conference. So it's going to be a little bit difficult to get there.
can I ask you guys this? Was this the first bad performance under the new head coach, whose name escapes me right now?
Yes.
Gomez Turan.
I will say they did lose.
No, they did lose.
They lost to the Chicago Fire. Well, I wouldn't call it a bad performance as opposed to a great performance by Alexander Katai.
Okay.
Rough outing on the road, but this game, they're clearly tired. I personally think not enough of a change in the rotation. Mm-hmm. They Jonathan Lewis probably should have started this game. And
that's the story of NYCFC, right?
Well, I don't know.
What, Jonathan Lewis should be starting the game? Yeah.
Well, Yo Ingebrigtsen got the start. And
which we know. I love Yo Ingebrigtsen.
So look, we can get into our issues, but
I would love to be Yo Ingebrigtsen. I would love to get paid to do nothing.
He scored a couple goals.
Right? A couple goals. Wow. Let's get him a statue.
Anyway, I think the lethargic effort was clear especially in the first goal. Christian Rodon scores in the 36th minute, but it was a deflection off of Ben Sweat, and that deflection was not pursued. I forgot who was who tried to chase the ball down, but Christian Rodon got there first.
Rodon looked like a fox in the box. You know what I mean, he really looked like a striker. It was interesting.
Yeah, and that shouldn't happen against NYCFC.
I did like that turn and shoot that he did. I mean, those are, I don't think of them as high probability shots, but when they go in, everyone's like, ooh, who knew you had that in the toolbox?
And then the goal from Gustav Svensson, which is a crack.
Decent.
Yeah. But they had to replace the netting after that.
That was when the pen slam happened, by the way.
But I saw that and
because our own defenders are taking each other out.
That did happen, yes.
Yeah.
They look like idiots.
Did it deflect off of someone or no? I thought it did.
No.
It didn't? I couldn't exactly tell.
Yeah, I think
tell.
It was a slight defection, but it actually went closer to Sean Johnson anyway.
I thought Sean Johnson should have done a little bit better with that one. But
that deflection almost helped him, though. I mean,
it was a great shot, and Gustav Svensson, the last remaining MLS player in the World Cup. So, he was excited to be back home.
Sean Johnson, $3.9 million.
Christian, to your point, I feel like that goal was also very symptomatic of a team that's very tired, because you had NYC sitting so deep that when that ball spilled to Svensson, it was sort of like, oh yeah, we're supposed to step now.
Yeah.
And it was everybody stepping, but it was one or two steps maybe slower than they would be otherwise. And I think if they're not slower, they maybe get a block on that as opposed to a slight deflection.
Yeah, it's surprising, just because NYCFC did have, 2 weeks ago, they had three games in 7 days and won all three. But this was the thing that took them down, man.
I mean, they're starting to get gassed. That happens. But I will say, Domantas Torrent has had a really good run. He took over a team midseason.
Yeah.
He won the derby, which is awesome. This doesn't excuse looking bad after 3 days rest and traveling. This has happened before. He's been on teams that have played in Champions League games 3 days after playing league games. What do you have to do? Maybe you don't get as much training in, but maybe you do the tank, or maybe
turf
rolling.
Is new to him. That's probably a genuine suggestion.
Actually, maybe. Yeah, maybe that is. And you do get more tired playing on turf.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great for your tendons and your legs, but I'll give him that. Good point. But still, this isn't the first time he's had to play a compact schedule. He just played three games in a week and won all three. I'm not saying he needs to do that every time.
Those were at home to, you know.
There's no excuse for them looking as tired as they did.
Okay.
And we have other players.
Because you could try, that's when you try new things, right? So like, if you don't have pizza sauce, you just use pasta sauce and they're basically the exact same thing.
Actually, they are. One's cooked and pizza sauce is not cooked. So you try to troll me and yeah, you're right. Also, I'm still angry for some reason.
Have you guys paid attention to Domi Torrent in the league, or did you pay attention when he was with Pep at Manchester City? What have been your thoughts on him and his, you know?
So honestly, because of the World Cup, we kind of checked out of MLS for a whole month. So we've mostly missed the Torrent thing.
What, you mean World Cup 2014?
Yeah.
Been checked out of MLS since then. listen, we're talking about a league that has less fans than the leagues you're talking about. So we're really making fun of ourselves. But
was your show around in 2014?
Yes, it was, just in my head.
Okay, there we go.
So much better than Men in Blazers back then.
All right, let's...
He coached Messi with Barcelona back with... He's been with Pep this whole time. He's coached, in Bayern Munich. Now he's coaching Manchester City and won the league, essentially.
The word assistant is implied here,
yes,
right?
Yes. He was an assistant coach, sure. But he was a coach on those teams. He was a part of that process. And he was his right-hand man. I have a question for you guys. Just not having a ton of information on him, just knowing those three things that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. and looking at someone like Patrick Vieira, who do you think has a better pedigree? Who do you think is a bigger get for MLS? Domi Torrent? Or Patrick Vieira?
Headlines-wise, it was Patrick Vieira, right?
Yeah, I'm not asking headlines-wise.
Right, but I'm saying it's a bigger get in terms of the profile it brings to the league, right? Which is still an issue for Major League Soccer, so it looks good for that reason, right? And then when Vieira actually does well, it looks even better because it looks like it wasn't a desperate gamble. Like, let's get a famous manager and see what happens. Turns out he was actually a good coach. But yes, one with the pedigree of Torrent, I think that is also a huge, huge get as well. So I'm basically saying they're both big gets, just in very different ways.
Yeah, I mean publicity-wise, I would agree with that. I would say Torrent, definitely the better manager. Like at least from the outset, let me put it that way. Not mm-hmm. like, you know, than Vieira is right now. But I remember we had Matt Doyle on the show and we were talking about how like it could be like a horrendous decision to appoint Patrick Vieira because he didn't have, like, did he have any experience? He had like a little experience. He had just done his coaching badges.
He was the elite development squad manager or coach at Manchester City.
So you know what that sounds like? That sounds like some bullshit you put on a resume when you haven't done anything.
It means youth team coach.
Yeah. Super important manager.
I'm an elite Outlook supervisor. You're
the elite janitorial service manager. Wow. But here's the reason why I say that. I don't think MLS can convince the right-hand man of a championship-winning coach that wins everywhere he goes to come coach in MLS for his first.
I don't think MLS convinced him to do it.
I think City Football Group.
Yeah.
Which is the point I'm trying to make. The circumstances allowed us to get a coach we normally wouldn't get. Giving an opportunity to a big name coach to finally get out of the youth system. Mm-hmm. It's probably, I think if we would have tried to give Henri to coach, he would have done it. You know what I mean? I don't know that that's as hard to get. I think it's harder to get someone like a Domi Torrent who would be like, oh, I don't want to go to MLS. I'm winning the league everywhere in La Liga, in Bundesliga, in Premier League. Why am I going to go to MLS
helping
to be the head coach?
Helping win the league.
That's the thing. No, that's the thing. He won the league.
He didn't win it himself.
Right? This is his play to be his own man, to be the guy at the top of the ticket, right?
If it wasn't for City Football Group, he would not have made that decision, I don't think. I think he would have waited for an opportunity in Europe.
Yeah, maybe, but this gives him the chance to do it in Major League Soccer.
The point that we're saying is simply like you're saying he won the league. He was an assistant coach or he was whatever, like a first team coach or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is his opportunity to win a league as head coach, which is a different thing, which then gives him that bump in the resume.
The point I'm making is someone else in the same position, Domi Torrent, I don't think would look, if there was no connection in Boss, I don't think he would look towards MLS to be the opportunity to say, like, let me win the league.
I don't think either one of us disagree.
I think what's happening is we're agreeing, but you're still arguing for some reason.
I want to win, even though we're agreeing.
You want to win even when we're on the same page.
Like, I'm a little worried that Alexis will one day develop multiple personalities because it's going to be him in a room like, no, yes, no.
Yeah. I didn't win an argument until everyone agrees and apologizes to me.
If I develop multiple personalities, they're all going
to
be dope.
That's how you always close the show, right? We all apologize to him.
Exactly. So, final game, though, we want to talk about Los Angeles Galaxy against.
There's more.
So long
still
show.
Going?
Long show, ain't it?
I'm so tired.
A lot of teams in this league.
Final game. Los Angeles Galaxy hosts Orlando City.
Goals!
At the StubHub Center, and that's when Orlando City plays, we know that there will be lots of goals scored on. They'll be scored, but they did score a couple. And we were watching this game at Brendan's Pub while we were imbibing free alcohol.
Uh-huh. And I remember some of it.
So it made it extra entertaining because Zlatan did get his first hat trick in Major League Soccer.
Zlat trick.
Wow. Saved it for Cooligans, though. Thank you.
Boo.
Yeah,
you did it. But look, I mean, we can... It's great for Zlatan, great for LA Galaxy. I think we see that both of these teams have like very serious problems defending in soccer games, right? they do not.
Let's try them in court.
In other settings, they might be fine, but in soccer games, they both struggle. And we can easily get excited about Zlatan scoring a whole bunch of goals. But what the hell is going on with LA Galaxy? And we are look. I think Orlando's done for the year. They've already benched Joe Bendik. I think they've kind of given up. But LA Galaxy, Michael Ciani? They are so bad. I just can't even fathom why they are so bad defensively. Is it Siggy Schmidt's fault? Is it just the defender's fault? They're not even like changing the lineups enough in the back line to try to make some improvement or make a statement.
I haven't watched a lot of the LA Galaxy, especially not lately. Just looking at their lineup and then looking at what happened in this game, I think one of the things they've tried to figure out up front is how to get Gio Dos Santos, Ola Kamara, and Zlatan all playing together, right? And from what I could see, it was Zlatan and Kamara as partners and Gio Dos Santos just behind. Then they end up playing it's like a 3-4-1-2, right?
That's exactly what
they
were,
Chris Pontius is one of the wing backs. I think they're taking a lot of gambles, right? But to get Dos Santos, Kamara, and Zlatan all playing in their preferred position, they're essentially missing a defender to do that. And I think that is a recipe for goals. But it makes games involving the LA Galaxy extremely entertaining.
And is Perry Kitchen just not a good central defensive midfielder?
He played in DC for a long time, right?
He did.
But he slides back and both Dos Santos kind of go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So Pontius kind of has, Kitchen kind of has to handle it on his own, no?
I'm not sure. I haven't watched enough of him.
Him and Ashley Cole, I think Ashley Cole seems to be, yes, he is a wing back, but he seems to be...
He finds himself forward.
He's everywhere. He has to do everything because he has
and
to...
And how old is he? 37?
Like, that's a lot. He has to cover for a lot of the mistakes that the defenders make.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just baffling because, we talked about this a bunch.
Free Diaz Arce. That's what I say.
Who?
Thomas Diaz Arce, isn't that his name?
Oh, Hilliard Arce.
That's what I said. Thomas Hilliard Arce.
Yeah. I was like, Raul Diaz Arce retired a long time ago.
That's what I did. Sorry. Yeah, but Thomas Hilliard Arce, I think I only know this from our friend Travis Clark. I'm sure you guys know him as well from Top Drawer Soccer.
Yeah, of course.
He's really hyped on this guy as a central defender, and yet for some reason, they will not take a gamble and start him.
It's his first year.
Yeah, but what are the other guys doing?
The other options aren't really working.
By the way, when he did play, when he has played, he's looked great. I don't know why he's not starting.
Yeah, watching these
maybe
games,
they got him confused with Diaz Arce, and that's why they're not playing him centre back.
It happened. It's happened to the best of us.
Yeah, your name's too close to Jazzy's art as I can.
But are we excited that Zlatan got his first hat trick? I know because of that, that game was on Sunday, Monday. What was that game? That game was Sunday.
Sunday night.
And then Zlatan did announce that he was not going to be playing in the All-Star game after that. And because of that, he is going to be suspended for the next game because that is Major League Soccer rules. And mm-hmm. we follow them and we all think they're great.
Yep, 100%.
Nothing wrong has ever happened.
But he did make that conscious choice to...
I can't wait to get my MLS show money. It's going to be so great.
But he did make that conscious choice to rest instead of playing in the All-Star game. Are we upset as Zlatan for doing that?
No, I mean, I think it's so stupid that your punishment for bowing out of an extra game is to lose another game. It's like, oh, I get double the vacation? Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. That'll suck.
I assume he does not get paid for that game, so...
He's not getting paid much anyway. He's here for the visa contract, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So who gives a shit? Visa's not going to take money away from him. Yeah. Here's my thing. They're in third place, which I was shocked. I actually thought they were a little bit lower than that. So Zlatan scoring 3 goals is amazing, right? It shows his ability to start to develop confidence in scoring in the league. He's starting to get inside the heads of the defenders. He's figuring out the league. He can score. He scores everywhere he goes. Here's my problem. They gave up 3 goals. Right? Yeah, you score a lot of goals. You're not going to be able to do that in the playoffs. You're not going to win an MLS Cup by scoring a ton. You have to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, we had a listener question about that once because I think we were discussing Orlando City. I'm sorry, Orlando City fans. And I think it was like, oh, they were winning at the time like 4-3 and 3-2. Mm-hmm. And I went like, oof. And somebody asked like why that was my response, and it was exactly that. It's because at a certain point, Zlatan is going to be suspended, or Zlatan's going to take a game off, or he won't find the back of the net in a game. And if you remove those three goals, that's a loss instead, and then you run into problems. So yeah, it's about fixing the defense first, yep, and then maybe also keeping Zlatan happy, because that's important.
But as neutrals, I'm going to enjoy the bleeding.
Indeed,
it's fun to watch. That yeah, game was really fun to watch, especially yeah, when Lecce came on. Hey,
ooh, yeah. I thought the most interesting thing about Los Angeles hey, that I learned on the, I learned on this tour actually about Los Angeles is that the best New York style pizza, according to Alexis Guerreros, is found in Los Angeles. You wouldn't expect is that right? But that's what he says.
Huh. Only dogs can hear me scream.
My favorite moment of this match had to be watching Sasha Kljestan be so angry at his teammates.
Yeah.
How badly does that guy regret going to Orlando?
He is as perturbed on Orlando City as he was when you and I tried to talk to him at MLS Cup. He hated us so much. He lied to get away from us. He was like, oh, this is his old friend. And the guy was like, huh? I gotta talk to this guy.
He is a very creative guy.
Yeah, very. Yeah, he sent us a through ball away from him.
And that guy was like an Orlando teammate, right? Yeah. Set you up, and the guy was like, what?
The guy was like, why'd you come over here? I don't know. Kljestan sent us to you. He does not want to be there at all. When Jason Christ got fired, he's like, me, please.
Fire me next.
Why couldn't it be me?
Yeah, I feel bad. I mean, RJ Allen, our friend, formerly of NYCFC, we interviewed him. We hung out with his mom and his current fiance. I don't know why I said current fiance, because
she wasn't back then.
She had multiple fiancés.
She had multiple fiancés. That's what it sounded like.
The old fiance was cool. This one's great, though.
But seeing as like we've hung out with him, right, and seeing him struggle. I don't know if you've ever been around, like had any kind of friendship with any player, and then seeing them perform, and then you have you're more sympathetic towards.
You feel bad for their situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sense.
Yeah, and right? That's exactly how I feel. I'm like, you know, if NYCFC plays Orlando, I'm not rooting for RJ Allen to win, but I hopefully plays well, has a good showing.
So you want like a 4-2 NYCFC win, but RJ Allen gets two goals.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think it's just the constant week in and week out, just watching the team he's on play badly. Yeah. Like, damn, son.
My bad.
Yo, was it us?
All right, so that is it. That is the end of the show. We've covered Major League Soccer with Total Soccer Show, and it was an honor for us. I know it was an honor for you. You don't even have to say anything.
You damn right it was. Of course it was.
Your silence says it all.
So thank you so much for joining us on this show. We will wrap up, as we always do.
Oh, baby.
In the most fun way possible.
Sabaro!
Yo, Total Soccer Show is only going to have one host.
He is. Good thing there aren't any more shows, because Taylor would not make any of the others.
I want to punch him in the throat, but then I think maybe he wouldn't sound like a 16-year-old boy.
Oh, my God. I got that every stop of the tour. It's like, Daryl looks exactly like I thought he would. Yeah. You, I thought, would be like a waifish blonde boy. Yeah.
You look like a mountain man who ate a 16-year-old boy, and you open your mouth and allow that boy to speak out of your throat.
You know what?
That's exactly what happened.
During the show in Atlanta, you were wearing the hat that we got, that MLS gave us. And you had that flat brim.
Flat brim low.
Flat low, and then you got the beard going. I was like, yo, is French Montana on stage right
I
now?
I was just about to say he looked like an extra from a French Montana video. Hilarious. Dude,
I like his better, because I was actually French Montana in that one, as opposed to an extra from a French Montana, but yeah.
Okay, his was better.
So thank you so much for doing the show. So
How do you guys wrap up? I don't normally listen to the end, because it's so long.
Oh, wait, you don't. It doesn't take you 5 days to listen to one episode, as opposed to 5 days to listen to five episodes?
Yeah. I don't know who that was a shot at.
All of us.
Everybody gets it. Shots fired straight up in the air.
You know the rules of this podcast. Everybody gets it.
Even me.
That's what Gunny told me.
Gunny's gone rogue.
Click, click. Oh, yeah, he says everybody gets it.
So my name is Christian Polanco.
Mine is Alexis Guerreros.
Mine is Taylor Rockwell.
My name is Daryl Grove.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!